Maybe I should drop you at your door. Leave tonight and vanish up the shore. Anywhere but here. Our next guest on the program is a songwriter, producer, performer. Longtime lead singer of Better Than Ezra. He's also written hits for all kinds of other folks, including Train, Sugarland, Dierks Bentley, Taylor Swift, Hunter Hayes, James Blunt, and more. And he's got a brand new book out that is terrific called The Greatest Song. Happy to be joined this afternoon by Kevin Griffin. Kevin, thank you so much for being with us.
Rich, it's so good to be speaking with you. You know, you did leave off one important name in that co-songwriting list. Bangor, Maine's favorite son, Howie Day.
Well, I was going to mention that because Howie...
Oh, was that a spoiler?
I'm a school teacher, and Howie's a former student of mine.
Oh, my God. I love that. I love that. Oh
yeah. You co-wrote Collide with him. You produced an album that I thought was terrific that should have had some hits in A Just World, Be There.
You know, thank you so much. Be There is one of my favorite songs. That was the Sound the Alarm record. It was the follow-up to Stop Everything Now. And, you know, that's the record business, though. Sometimes that crazy alchemy, that luck is with you with a great album. Sometimes you put a great album together and the luck isn't. You know, and the longer you're around, at least the longer I've been around, the more I'm grateful for when I do have hits, because I know how hard it is and how many things need to line up for that magic to happen.
Absolutely. Well, the book is terrific. It is not at all what I expected. I didn't, I didn't read any reviews or anything going in. I wanted to go in with a blank slate, and I frankly thought it was going to be a self-help book, a book about creativity, and it's all that, but in the guise of fiction, and it's such a terrific read.
Hey, Rich, thank you so much. You know, I started doing, about 6 years ago, I started speaking. I had a buddy, and I say this in the book, it's rare that anything good happens in a bar after 2 a.m., but this one time during Mardi Gras, I had ridden in a parade down during Mardi Gras, and I was getting some late-night food, and I ran into a buddy. And he was down in New Orleans with a group of people from Dallas. And he said they had just hired Malcolm Gladwell, you know, Outliers, The Tipping Point, to speak for them. Would I want to ever speak for their group? And I was like, of course, because that's the way I roll, Rich. I'm always like, I say yes first, and then I figure out how I'm going to do it. But I spoke to some people, and I realized that the things that I've learned to do and had to do over my career, my life, to stay successful and in a very fickle business like music, the things I do are the same things that anybody can do and that people do in different careers. So the cool thing was, I was like, wait a second, I'm in this career of music that people are drawn to and they find fascinating. I can couch these practices, you know, these steps that I do to stay inspired and creative. I can couch them in, you know, the world of music, and it will be compelling. So that was the speech. And then As so often happens, the speech turns into your agent saying, "You need to write a book. You need to put this down." And so I did. And my favorite types of books, you know, like business books, they're business parables. They tell a story, and during that story, which hopefully it's well written and it's compelling, you learn something. And that was the genesis of The Greatest Song.
Yeah, well, so Jake Stark, is he a stand-in for you, or is he an amalgam of different people you've met in the business through the years?
You know, yeah, the answer is yes to both those. You know, you write what you know, and it, you know, I say, and I'm very unabashed at saying that there's, you know, big parts of Jake that are me. But really quickly in the book, it goes from, you know, what you could easily draw parallels to complete fiction and not me at all. And I actually, do you know Bobby Bones? He's a big radio personality.
I sure do, yeah.
Yeah, Bobby, I was hanging out with him, and I was doing his podcast. And he was like, so, you wrote a fiction book, The protagonist is a singer. He was big in the 90s. Had hits. This is just you, Kevin. I was like, no, it's not. I was like, you know, there's a very famous author, Bobby, and his name is Stephen King, and every one of his protagonists is a writer living in Maine. And he was like, you've got a good point there. And now I realize I'm speaking to you in Maine.
And but, Stephen King owns our station.
He does not.
Yes, he does.
Oh, my God. But, you write what you know. And so I started with something that was very familiar to me. And then Dramatic License took over, and I was off to the races.
I love the fact, I'm a huge Harry Nilsson fan, I love the fact that everybody's talking plays a huge role in the story, also because of the ironic twist, which is the song that most people know Harry for is a song that Fred Neil wrote. He didn't, and often the biggest songs that he wrote were hits for other people.
Isn't that interesting? But that's so often the case that, you know, Harry Nilsson was the consummate songwriter, beautiful songs, yet his biggest song was a cover. And so many covers, songs that artists didn't write are the ones that broke them, and opened all those doors. I love that song. And one of the things I want to do, one of the steps in the book or one of the practices I do is I call it changing your attitude, which is approaching something from a different angle. And the attitude, I use attitude as it's used in aviation, and an attitude is your angle of approach when you land. So when your normal of angle of approach isn't working, how do you change it up? So I love that the answer, like so many things in life, was right underneath Jake Stark's nose the whole time. It was the song he listened to every morning that was going to take a new song and give it some spice and something different by incorporating a loop of an old classic song like Everybody's Talking.
We're talking with Kevin Griffin here on Downtown. His new book is called The Greatest Song. So I wouldn't want to give away too much because I want people to read the book. But Jake has been, after much success, cut loose by the publishing company he's been with for many years. He's adrift for a while and then gets the opportunity to meet with a young entrepreneur, Sir Kid, who leads him off in a new direction, and he discovers what's called in the book The Method, which is essentially your steps for success, particularly in the world of collaboration.
Absolutely. You know, I wrote all the early in my career, I wrote all the songs in Better Than Ezra, those three albums that people know, Good and Desperately Wanting and at the Stars. And then I got dropped 7 short years after starting music. I was dropped, and in 2003 I was out of the studio in Los Angeles, and Better Than Ezra, we were making an album on our own. We were in Studio B of this famous place called Conway Studios, and in Studio A was Justin Timberlake making his first album, and Rich, in Studio C was none other than iconic rock legend, star or actor in Fight Club, actor in the Rocky Horror Picture Show, none other than Meatloaf. And Meatloaf's manager, Alan Kovac, a famous guy, he managed Blondie, Meatloaf, the Bee Gees. He came in one morning and said, Kevin, Meat heard one of your songs. He wants you to collaborate. And I had never collaborated, and my gut instinct was just to say no and make up an excuse. But then I was like, look, what do you got to lose? You've been dropped. And my dad always would tell me, Kevin, nothing changes if nothing changes. So I was like, okay, I'll collaborate with you. 2 hours later, I wrote a song that was 7 minutes long with Meatloaf, and it was the coolest, most fun experience I'd ever had writing. It became a hit outside the United States, but that opened my eyes to collaboration, and that's the bedrock for what changed my life, not only when I'm writing songs with other people collaborating, but when I'm doing other kind of business endeavors, collaborating. And then there's rules that go into that, how to be a successful collaborator, and then everything is a springboard from collaboration.
Well, and I love the term that Jake hears in the book, my ego is not my amigo. Sometimes you got to get out of the way and let those collaborators take the lead.
You know, you're right. That's the hardest. So many things in life, in business, but in your relationships can be, and your friendships can be solved by checking your ego. And there's a character in the book, his name's Shane Sawyer. and he talks like Sam Elliott. And he tells Jake, he says, "Jake, my ego is not my amigo." And when I check my ego and under the assumption, you know, and the truth that I'm surrounded by talented people, listen and let them do what they do best, whether it's my, you know, my co-writers, honestly, my family members, and I listen, that's when I write hit songs. That's when life gets really fun and good. So there's a theme that goes through this book about checking your ego and listening. And, you know, despite our best intentions, so often in life, we're all micromanagers, we try to control everything. But when we let go of that, you know, that's when magic happens.
I love the step called filling the well, finding inspiration, oh, yeah, staying in touch with what's going on out there. And what I think for a lot of people might be the most challenging part, embracing the success of your competition.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, the first thing is, you know, is whatever that endeavor, that thing you do is staying in touch with and knowing the business of your business. I think, you know, I think that's how I put it, is there's no shortage of podcasts, of books, of radio shows, of so many ability. There's so much out there to know what's happening in your business, because the people who crush in business, whatever it is you do, are the people who can connect the dots from an idea to the finish line. How do you get it there? You know, so I talk about that a lot in the book. And one of the examples is the most successful people I know in business are the ones who embrace the success of their competition. Now, the gut instinct is if somebody, your competition's doing something great, you're like, it's terrible, it's lame, they ripped me off. And you want to turn your back on it. But when you actually turn around and say, wait a second, they're actually doing something really awesome, that's when you get great ideas. And I have a friend, he lives down in New Orleans, his name is Robert LeBlanc, he is from Houma, Louisiana, he is a Cajun, and he has several restaurants in New Orleans. I just ate at one this past Saturday night. I was down there for Jazz Fest. And if he's not in his restaurant sweating it out in the kitchen or greeting people at the door, he's at his competition checking out what they're doing, learning from them. You know, I went and saw Taylor Swift last night at Nissan Stadium in the pouring rain, you know, and I'm a fan, but I was like, there's nothing to learn. But I saw her do some things and, you know, just good stage banter, fun things. I was like, I'm going to take that into a Better Than Ezra show. So just putting yourself out there, keeping the antennas out, it keeps you nimble. It keeps you inspired, because that's what filling the well is. You know, when you're young, you're full of inspiration. But as you get older, yeah, it can't be a passive exercise. You've got to go out and seek inspiration, and this book gives you some of those tools.
Well, and you talk about the tough thing, especially when you've had success, of getting out of your comfort zone, but how that's really the path to growing your self-confidence.
Every time I've been out of my comfort zone, you know, that when I'm a little off balance, when life is in flux, when I'm having to think on my feet, that's when I come up with great ideas. And in the book, Jake Stark, the protagonist, has to write a song, out on a pontoon boat with a bunch of crazy people. And he's not wearing something that makes him comfortable. That's all. But look, when you leave your comfort zone, that's when you enter growth zones. And you know, I started, when we first started talking, I was telling you about how I started doing those speeches. The second speech I ever did was a group from Live Nation. And on stage, when I had never had a panic attack in my life. I was on stage and I had a panic attack, and I had to stop the speech and say, wow, I don't know what's happening. You know, and I caught my breath and I kind of worked through it, and somebody said, you can do it. And I finished the speech and I ended up getting some work because of that, just being, I guess, being vulnerable. But when I got back to my hotel, I was in Dallas, I'd done the speech, I was like, I'm never, ever doing that ever again. Stick to what you're good at, play your guitar and sing your songs. But a few days later, I was like, no, you're going to do it again, and you're going to fight through that, and you're going to learn how to figure it out. And so many things, look, I wouldn't be talking to you if I had stopped, because I was leaving my comfort zone. So it looks, and you get to a point, Rich, you know this, that you want to do stuff that has purpose. And so I wanted to share in this book the things that have worked for me and for others that I read about it, because it's an omnivore. I read all the time, and I wanted to share that and put it out there.
Well, and especially in the creative realm, Kevin, I love this idea. Dare to be stupid. Don't second guess yourself. Get rid of the filter and just have some fun.
You know, save that to the end, and that is one of the practices that's shown to Jake, our protagonist, by a certified genius, and his name is Daniel Smith Daniels. And yes, in the audiobook version, I voiced all the characters, and I had so much fun doing it. But it's really the idea that, and it's actually a quote I use. It's from a famous educator, his name, he was actually a sir as well, Sir Kenneth Robinson. He had the biggest TED Talk, one of the most watched TED Talks ever. And he said that you'll never come up with anything truly groundbreaking unless you're prepared to fail. And the people I know in the music business or in any business are the ones that put themselves out there and they come up with big ideas and they're not afraid to fail. And they create an environment when they're working where big ideas are encouraged and failure isn't stigmatized. And every time there's a writer here in Nashville, and I just saw him last week. I wrote with him. His name's J.T. Harding. He's written huge songs for Eric Church, Keith Urban. He has no filter, and he just starts throwing out crazy ideas. And if he second-guessed himself, and if he didn't dare to be stupid, or sometimes I say dare to suck, you know, put yourself out there. If he ever was scared about that, he would have no career. And so, you know, I like using it in kind of a funny way, dare to be stupid, because at first you're like, wait, huh? But it's when you dare to put yourself out there and be vulnerable with a big idea and don't say, well, this may sound stupid, you know, or sit on your hands. When you put yourself out there, that's when you save the day with a great idea.
Well, the book is wonderful. It's called The Greatest Song, and it really does work on two levels. It's just a wonderful read. You get caught up in Jake and the other terrific characters that you meet along the way. I found myself wondering, okay, who's Kevin modeling this guy? Or who might this be? But that's wonderful. And then you get all this great advice that certainly is applicable in the world of music, but can be useful, I think, in any endeavor you're in. It's a great way to live your life and change the way you do things and opens your eyes to a new worldview, and it's just terrific.
Oh, brother, thank you so much for that. You know what I realized, my big aha moment, when I was starting to do this speech and just kind of reading about, because at the same time, you know, I've been dropped my label, you know, I realized that, wow, how I conduct myself in business when I'm doing that right, it's very similar to how I should conduct myself in my life and with my friendships and my relationship with my wife, with my kids. When I listen, when I collaborate, when I leave my comfort zone, when I try to approach things that are challenging from a different angle, man, that's when life just gets imminently better. And I had a blast writing it. You know, also, Rich, in the book, there are five songs written, and, you know, it's a fiction book, but I decided, wouldn't it be cool if we actually wrote these songs? So you can go on, you guys can play them, or you can go on any streaming platform, check out the songs. It's the greatest song soundtrack, original soundtrack. You can listen to the songs. They're also in the audio version of the book.
Also, August 18th, right here in Bangor, Maine, at the Maine Savings Amphitheater, Better Than Ezra, along with Train.
I'm so fired up about that show. I love Bangor. You know, I got to know it when I was writing and working a lot with Howie around 2006, 2007. I love it up there. I've gone summers up there to Ball Harbor and Cadillac Mountain, and I love the whole air. I love Maine. So I can't – and that's actually the last show of the tour, and we're going to kind of take our time with our kids and meander back down to Nashville.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you when you're here. The book is The Greatest Song. It's a wonderful read. Kevin, thank you so much. Congratulations on a terrific work, and we wish you much continued success.
Rich, continued success with Downtown, and thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Kevin Griffin with us on Downtown.